by, then I don't think to myself how happy I am to be a Christian. And I actually feel sorry for people who aren't. How people come to the Lord is just an expression of God's artistic nature, that he finds a way sooner or later to confront everybody with the truth of God. And whether they receive it or not is up to them. But I divide my life into two categories. One, my life B.C., which was before Christ, and my life D.C., which is my life during Christ. And honestly, there's not a day goes by that I don't think to myself, what a deal I got. How happy I am that God extended this to me, and how undeserving I am. But yet, because of his grace and mercy and love, he still gave me this opportunity to not only belong to him, but to work for him. I just still think it's an amazing thing. Book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has released us from our sins by his blood. In Acts 20:28, it says, Jesus Christ bought the church with his blood. So there was no cheap way for him to do it. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. We do have a future and a hope. And no matter how bad your yesterday was or how south things may go today, Jesus Christ is still beside the Father. God is on the throne, and we have access to that throne by faith, which is based upon truth. Please take this in the spirit in which it's offered, but I've been watching this whole thing with the Pope and just kind of mulling out all over, and I have come to realize again and again and again that people don't spend much time thinking what heaven is like, and the way they misrepresent heaven is actually sort of very overwhelmingly appalling. If you would watch the whole proceedings with the Pope and all of that that's going on, there's a large section of people who name the name of the Lord who think there is a hierarchy in heaven, okay? And I confess I had to sort of smile to myself when they showed the Pope ascending the stairs up to the throne of Peter. And I thought to myself, okay, now if Peter could see this on closed circuit TV, what would Peter be thinking right now? There are no stars in heaven. There is no ego in heaven. There is only Jesus Christ. And there's no, people subconsciously, unconsciously think that there's a hierarchy in heaven. There's like a section who spend pretty much the day signing autographs and doing things, whatever. They have a skybox that they get to watch what's going on Earth. That's not heaven. Heaven is the same thing. Everybody's a sinner who is saved by grace, and they are fortunate to get in by the skin of their teeth. And I'm thinking, how strange. You've heard me say this many times. I don't know where people come up with their theologies, but there was that recent tragic crash where a girl stole an SUV, and there were eight of them, I think, who went for a joyride, and she crashed, almost all of them were killed, including her. And then I saw the reporter the next day talking about this event, and the reporter said, and there are six new angels in heaven who are looking over the railing of heaven down at our city. And I'm thinking, you know what? False hope is worse than no hope, because false hope will keep you from coming to the only hope that people really have. And John 17:17, you cannot be saved other than through the truth. Somehow, a person has to hear the truth and receives it. And that sanctifies them and sets them apart unto God, that beginning through the whole way. And in your life, I think, and I've talked to many of you about this over the years, I think you would agree with me that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. There's nothing before him for you, and there's nothing after him for you. He's your all in all. Everything, all of your eggs are in the Jesus basket. It's all about Jesus Christ. Clinton did this scripture last week. Would you go to Matthew chapter 17? My other thing was that I suppose some of you have seen on television, because it's been on every 5 minutes, about how Valerie Harper is dying of brain cancer. She used to be on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. She was Rhoda Morgenstern. Okay, now how many people in here have ever seen the Mary Tyler Moore Show? Wow, a lot of you, and you're even willing to admit it. I used to faithfully watch that program before I was a Christian, and Mary Tyler Moore was interviewed about Valerie Harper, and she said, we have to all send our positive thoughts out to Valerie. Now, I know this is another thing that people believe, and I thought to myself, I wouldn't even know how to send somebody positive thoughts. I mean, write them down in a card and mail it to them. I mean, you go, I'm beaming them to you. Those do no good. Those are no good. They might make you feel a little better. But again, false hope is worse than no hope, because there is only really hope in Christ. There is no hope to be found anywhere else. So if you have something that keeps you from actual biblical hope, then it's bad. False hope makes people feel better temporarily, but it doesn't lead anyplace. Actual hope leads you to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, come unto me. That's the first step. You must come unto me. All of you who are weak and heavily burdened, and that's everybody, come unto me. And it says, learn of me. The two most important questions in the history of the human race. I've said them 100 times. We had a guy leave the church one time who said, you use the same scriptures all the time. And I thought, I guess I do, in a way. I do have some favorites because I think they're very significant. But I try to use some new scriptures for those of you who get tired of the old scriptures. This is Matthew chapter 16, where it says, the two most important questions in the entire human history are, who is Jesus, and who is Jesus to you? And that second question is the most important. That's the only thing by which people can come into hope and experience change. There has to be some point when you see yourself accurately and you see Christ accurately, and those two things come together in a life-changing experience. Our job, and Denny said that today. He said he wants to know God better through Christ. He wants to know, in a relationship, to know what Jesus is really like and what he wants. And we're given this word, and this is the only living book ever written in the history of the human race. It's alive. It's alive. The Holy Spirit causes it to be living to your heart. All you have to do is seek God in it. This is Matthew 17. So I was thinking, that makes people feel better. Send positive vibes. When I was growing up in Du Bois, we had this one department store, and they had this pneumatic system where you would order something, and they would put it in a little tin can, and they would put it in this thing, would suck it up, and you could hear it going off, and then you'd wait for a while, and some unseen power up on the top floor eventually would send you back your change. It would. Now, why they went to all that trouble? Why not just have a cashier? I don't know, but I was most intrigued with that. And so people, I guess, they think that that's what you do. You put your positive vibes in a can and put it in a pneumatic tube, and it gets sucked up and goes someplace. People will read them. I thought Mary Tyler Moore would be so much better off to say to people, hold her up in prayer. Trust God for a miracle. Last week, my scripture that I was trying to impress upon you was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. You've done a good job of teaching this, because they all quote it like you quote it. You know the scripture, right? Yeah. They all say, and he will make your path straight. And I always say, and he will direct your paths. No one ever gives me back that answer. They always give the path straight thing. And I'm thinking, I wonder what they think that actually means. He will make your path straight. What's the point of that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's easy to say that. But you only come to trust Jesus once you know him. If you don't see him as trustworthy, you won't be able to ever trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You will never figure it out. Okay? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will... Yeah, he will direct your path. Actually, it says paths. He will direct your paths. He will make your path straight. Okay? So you've done a good job of teaching them that. They all know that one. Trust the Lord with all your heart. That's a lifetime enterprise because there's always something to come along for your mind to say, yeah, but can he handle this one? This is a big one. Those other ones, they weren't that big. Now, handle this. It's walking with the Lord and knowing him. And the way we know him is through his word, by his spirit. Okay? And I was thinking, Isaiah chapter 6, I love that chapter. God is looking for someone to send, and Isaiah said, ooh, send me. Around the throne, he describes these heavenly beasts, and they are saying something about God. Does anybody remember what that was? These angelic things, they circle the throne, and they keep saying this over and over again. And no one ever gets tired of hearing it. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now, the revelation around the throne is that God is holy. It says, no one has ever seen, John 1:17 and 18, no one has ever seen the Father at any time, only the Son, who has been sent to explain him to the human race. Now, you'll never get the explanation of God, what he is like and what he wants, until you come into this dynamic with Jesus Christ. Who is he to you? And I just am so happy that Jesus chose me. He tapped me and said, you're going to belong to me now. And I'm thinking, what a wonderful thing. And I honestly feel sorry for people who have not come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't. I know it's portrayed, you're like a Christian bigot. You look down on other people who aren't Christian. That's not the point at all. I'm not better than anybody. I'm just better off than a lot of people because I have responded to the call that Jesus has put on my life. John 15:16, I take it seriously. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you for the purpose that you should go and bear fruit. And you can only do that in relationship to Jesus Christ. I said last week, and I will say again, there are lots of nice people in hell, I believe. People who are trustworthy, courteous, kind, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Well, not reverent. But there are a lot of those people who never made a decision to give their life to Jesus Christ because they saw no purpose to it. The main thing that we have to all do to trust the Lord is to realize that you cannot in any way make yourself ready or acceptable to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. And a lot of people don't like that because it's too limiting. But that's the whole point. It's limiting. But it's for as many as who want to come, but it's a narrow road. You cannot ever make yourself worthy of God's favor or heaven. You have to do it only through the prescribed means, through Jesus Christ. And it all comes down to these two questions. Who is Jesus? But especially, who is Jesus to you? We are to study him as we fellowship with him and walk with him. We are to come to know him in an ever deeper way. It has to be a desire of your heart. And that's what Denny was saying. He said that's a desire of his heart. And I would ask you that, but you don't have to raise your hands. Because I don't want anybody to get upset at me and say, you didn't let me raise my hand on that question, so I'm mad at you now. So I'm not having you raise your hand. But inside yourself, where you're sitting there all in privacy, you could raise your hand. Are you truly interested in knowing Jesus in a deeper way? And is that true in your life every day? If he's just a hobby or a pastime, it's not going to take you anyplace. I've thought for years, how can you really tell when somebody is born again? And Scripture says, God knows those who are his. Other people can learn to play the game with the rules, and they can even fool people into believing that they're Christian, but God knows who belong, all of those who belong to him. And I can tell you one thing, the most obvious mark of a non-Christian is selfishness in a variety of categories. God is saying, get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on Jesus and come to know him. And then trust him with all your heart. All of you who in here consider yourselves saved, you are trusting God with your salvation. You know that at the moment of death, you're going to go somewhere. And you're going to go where you're going to go, and there are no givebacks. But those who are in Christ know where they're going. The Catholic Church does not happen to believe in justification by faith. That's been the same since forever. We believe that people are made just, which is righteous, by God's Spirit in response to your believing the truth about Jesus Christ. And the new Pope, which makes me laugh, because the Catholic Church cannot have known what they were getting when they got this guy, because he is so anti the big show and puffing up and ornate. He refused to wear the big vestment. They said, you have to wear this out there for the homily or whatever. He said, I'm not wearing it. He said, you can wear it if you want to, but I'm not wearing it. So he just went out in his regular old robes, and I thought, that's some of these guys probably are because so much is based on the program and the show. They call the cardinals the princes of the church. And I read this in the Post-Gazette, and I never knew this, but it said in the Post-Gazette that the cardinals are generally addressed in a group as Lord Cardinals. And I thought, Lord Clinton. Lord Cardinals. And he won't do that. He calls them Brother Cardinals. And I thought, good for you. All right. There's a lot about him that I really like, but and he's very conservative also. So I found this whole process of the whole Pope thing, like when they were all marching in, the Lord Cardinals together, and they were all reciting the names of all the saints, and there must be a lot of them. It would be hard to memorize that whole list. I mean, you'd be like, to implore them to help them make this choice, to make the right person. And I keep thinking, there is only one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Nobody else fits in there. Who did that? Was that Denny who did that? That's irritating, isn't it? One mediator, Jesus Christ, between God and man. And I'm so glad for that. Clinton did this scripture the other day. It's in Matthew 17. Let's go to verse 2. He changed his outward form of appearance, revealing the inner glory. That was the transfiguration. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And Jesus in Acts chapter 1, it says, he was taken into heaven in clouds of glory. And the angels, that would have been a wonderful... Have any of you ever thought, I wish I could go back in history and see certain events in biblical times? Just me? Oh, well. I guess I have too much time on my hands. There are things that I would like to go back and see firsthand, though I wouldn't like to have to learn Aramaic to do it, but I'd like to just be in the crowd. One of the things I'd like to see is Acts chapter 1, where the whole crowd is there, and Jesus is taken up into the heavenlies, and they all watch him go. Where is he going? And the angel said, point of interest here, he will come back the same way that he left, in clouds of glory. And that's what it's talking about here. A glory cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. I'm well pleased. Hear him. And God is still saying that to the human race. I'm pleased with my Son. Listen to him, would you? Okay? And you listen to him through the Word of God. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus Christ himself. For us as Christians, everything else is like way secondary. It's seeing Jesus Christ and Him alone. There are no aids to salvation. Jesus is salvation. Your relationship with God is only through Jesus Christ. Jesus is of ultimate importance. He said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to what He has to say." And when they looked up, they saw only Jesus. And that's to be what we are. We're to see only Jesus in these situations. And we have the opportunity to do that. Listen to Him. There's a in John chapter 12, there's a group of Greeks who come to and ask Philip, "We want to see Jesus." And it doesn't seem like they ever got to from that passage in Scripture. Before He was crucified, Pilate put a big robe on Him and a crown and trotted Him out and said, "Behold the man." And they all beheld Jesus, but they didn't see Him. Okay, you only see Him with the eye of faith, the eye of truth, the eye of love, whatever you want to call it. They saw this man who was about to be crucified, but He was displayed before them, and He was displayed on the cross. The cross is the significant, one half of the significant event in all of human history. You could count the incarnation in there too, I guess, but dying on the cross to pay the price for the sins of mankind, you have to connect to that 2,000 years later by faith. That's our job. And then the resurrection. That is why what we call Easter is the most important event being commemorated by anybody upon the earth. That Jesus Christ overcame death. It showed He accomplished His mission. It proved that He indeed was the Son of God. And He opened the gates of heaven for people. That's what we celebrate at Easter. Now, I know in America it's mostly about chocolate. I'm glad for chocolate. I think it's a great invention. However, it's the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. And for that reason, Blaise, you will never die because of our faith in what happened on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, those things are kept secret from much of the human race. I don't know how they think they're going when their role is called up yonder, but it's only through Jesus Christ. So Jesus alone, look at Him. Would you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? One of my favorite scriptures is Jesus Christ. It says, "You have a friend who sticks closer than a brother." I find great comfort in that, that no matter how bad things may get for you, and sometimes things get sort of bad, it says you have a friend, it's in Proverb 18, who sticks closer than a brother. And I believe that he's referring there to Jesus Christ. Would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. We know Him thus no longer, because we now know Him as He's revealed to us by the Spirit of God. Therefore, if any man is in Christ..." I just think about that story that you told about how the mother helped the girl start her drug career. I'm thinking, parenting is such a terribly important job. And we are without resources in most situations. Our resource, if we don't make use of our resource, which is the Holy Spirit, we're going to make lots of mistakes. But rather than turning kids on to drugs, because I guess that was the most important thing in this lady's life, that's what she worshipped. If you actually worship Jesus Christ, you would want to turn your kids on to Jesus. All right? I've had many people over the years say, "We think that you should just let your kid pick any religion, and you know, when they're old enough, they'll just come to that, and they'll make their own choice." And so, because it doesn't really matter whether you're this or you're that, all religions say the same thing. They do not say the same thing. That's the stupidest thing ever uttered by the mouth of man. Christianity is exclusive because it focuses on salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And there is no other way, okay? Jeff has pointed out many times as he's preached on the cults that if you want to understand that the thing is a cult, because a lot of the cults the people, they seem nice. You know, when they're on your porch, they're nice. They're trustworthy, courteous, kind, cheerful, thrifty, brave, and almost reverent. But they don't get it, okay? You get it when you get Jesus. So our job is to get Jesus and to preach him to others. Would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16? I just read you 16. That we know him no longer according to the flesh. 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. What a wonderful concept that the old things have passed away and the new things have come in Jesus Christ. You're literally a new person, and life is new. Now, you still make some of the same old mistakes and face some of the same old problems, but every day of your life, you have an opportunity to walk with Jesus in relationship. What a deal. What a deal. And as I said, every day I think to myself, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I always wonder why other people don't want to be one, and I feel sorry for the ones who don't. Because they're so, I mean, they are, many of them, nice people. But unfortunately for all of us as humans, it said our best efforts are like filthy rags in God's sight. So it's only as you are humble enough to receive the fact that without God, you amount to nothing, you're worth nothing, you'll do nothing, and you certainly have a bad eternity ahead of you. But with God in Christ, we have an eternity of promise. And I do not think there is going to be a hierarchy in heaven. I think everybody's going to be focused. You're going to be standing beside somebody and say, "What? Give me a little space here, would you?" So he's not going to say, "Well, I am the Apostle Paul." And you, "Oh, I worship you. Thank you." It's not going to happen. Only Jesus will be worshipped in heaven. Only the Father through Jesus Christ. Heaven is very egalitarian. Everybody's in the same situation. There are no stars. Nobody gives autographs. It's only about Jesus. I like that because on earth now, there are Christian stars. There are people who have a lot more clout than other people, but not with God, okay? A prayer is a prayer is a prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I think that a lot. I think I have several nuggets of truth that everybody on the earth needs to hear. Now, I will never have the chance to give them to those people, probably. Like my brother, I quote my brother as an example. I have no access to give my brother the nugget of truth that he needs to prevent him from going into a Christless eternity because he has no interest. But I pray for him every day, and I ask that God would give me an opportunity to find a way, an opportunity to tell him about salvation through Jesus Christ. So we'll see if that ever happens, but I pray for him every day. Now, all things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know a secret that other people need to know. And when God gives you the opportunity, you get to tell them that secret about salvation through Jesus Christ. 19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. One thing all people in heaven have in common is they are all righteous. There are no unrighteous in heaven. They have all been declared righteous because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They are pronounced righteous on that basis. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the key is to be in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we are as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's the main problem of the human race right there. People need reconciled to God through Jesus. Now, a lot of people don't think they do. A lot of people don't even want to. They're not even interested in it. But the reason is they haven't really grasped the truth of what people are like and what God is like and how that affects their eternity. If you understand that people are sinful and they all need a Savior, and if you understand that God has sent His Savior, His Son, to be Savior because He loves us, it makes a big change in the way you look at people. That whole story about the lady caught in adultery, and he said, the first one here without sin, you can throw the first stone. And they all left. That's a parable, an illustration of the forgiveness and grace of God that is available to people if they will respond to Jesus. No Jesus, no salvation. 1 John 5:11 and 12, it said, eternal life has been placed in His Son. No son, no life. No one gets to say, but I'm a very helpful person in my neighborhood. Thank you so much, but it doesn't make any difference. No son, no life. Sort of sums up what the gospel is all about. Verse 21. He made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ knew no sin. It says in Hebrews 4:15. He never sinned. So therefore, He was equipped to be the Savior of a sinful mankind. He never sinned. But it says in Hebrews also that He despised the shame and the pain of the cross. Why did He? Like, really? I mean, I used to know this guy was a good... We were good friends. And he told me one time, he said, you know, if I'd been back in the time of Jesus and I had the opportunity, I'd have died on the cross for mankind. I thought, oh, please. Don't mark that down, Lord. He went on to His eternal reward, and I presume He would take that statement back if He could. Jesus, not only, it was not only the physical abuse, and Clinton and I have talked about this many times. That's not the point. The point was He took the sins of mankind on Himself. And for one second, He faced the alienation that mankind faces as He said, why have you forsaken me? But the real point of the cross was He took the sins of mankind. And since He was excruciatingly holy without seeming ostentatious, because the people who knew Him, they didn't get the point. I mean, I often thought about that. Like, how could they not? How could His brothers not say, my brother is very unusual? But they were all surprised when they found out that Jesus was the Messiah, because He did it so naturally. He became sin. He took on Himself the sins of mankind, actually became a sin offering so that we could have righteousness before God by faith in Him. All that we have to do, not penance, not trying harder, not church attendance, not anything that will get us points. You can't get points with God other than through His Son. And we live in an age when the worst thing that you could possibly be is intolerant. God is intolerant. I mean, if someone say, your God is intolerant, He is. He's very intolerant to sin. He loves people, but He hates sin. And He's able to divide the person from the sin, which we have trouble doing. If He didn't, none of us would have gotten saved. He divided us from sin. He loves us despite the fact that we have done our best to fill up the sin quotient. We all did our share to deserve hell. And I think that a lot. I think of many of my past follies, and I think I'm so fortunate, and I don't want to ever be in that category when Jesus said to those guys, the one among you who is without sin, throw the first stone. Because people are usually pretty willing to whack the first stone off somebody. And Jesus is saying, yeah, you ought to really think about yourself and look at what Jesus has done and why He had to do it. Mankind is just irredeemably stained with sin. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. But it doesn't make you anybody special. It just makes you saved and belonging to Jesus Christ. And you go about your life and say, Lord, what are You and I going to do today? And you don't ever get to be a king or an important guy or a VIP. And you're never going to get a skybox in heaven. It all belongs to Jesus Christ. Okay, would you go to 1 Peter 3:18? Jesus Christ became sin for us. And I believe that the more we learn about Jesus Christ, the more opportunity you have to love him and praise and worship him. In the midst of difficult times, Jesus faced difficult times, and we still face difficult times. But my poor friend, he didn't get it. I mean, he thought, yeah, nail me up there. I want to be up there for 3 hours. I can handle the pain. I couldn't. Sometimes I hate to even get blood drawn. I don't look. I don't watch him do it. I just think, okay. 3 hours on the cross was a short amount of time considering what some people spent. But that's not the point of the cross. The point is he became a sin offering. He took the sin of mankind. How we make that work is by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why people need to be in relationships and situations where they can hear the word of God. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. The idea of Jesus dying on the cross, and he asks in the garden, are you sure this is the only way? Because he didn't really want to be crucified if he didn't have to be. And God said, no, you have to do it this way. And he said, thy will be done. The point of that whole thing was not just to stalk heaven, you know, like people stalk a trout stream, you know, a trout, throw it in there and fish them out. The whole point was to bring people to God, people that would love God and belong to him, and their greatest identification is with God. I was watching the things on television about the St. Paddy's Day Parade, and, I mean, the people were having a wonderful time, all dressed in green, and people associate themselves with things like St. Paddy's Day and the Steelers and not the Pirates, but... it used to be the Pirates, but it's not anymore. But they affiliate themselves with something that becomes a vital part of their identity. And God is saying, you know, only Christ. Everything else is idolatry. If you give your heart to anything else other than Christ, then you're on the wrong road. We have an opportunity to come to know God, never to slake that thirst completely, because there's always more that you could possibly know about Jesus Christ. He, Hebrews 12:2, he despised the shame. And there's an interesting thing in John chapter 4 where they come to Jesus and they figure, you've had a hard day. You must be hungry by now. Why don't you get something to eat? And Jesus said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And so they all said to each other, who brought him the sandwich? Someone bring him a can of sardines, Gatorade. What's he talking about? Because they always took his meaning on everything as the most literal, obvious meaning, and it never was. Now, you think at some point they'd go, I sense a trap here. It's not really about a sandwich, is it? But they didn't seem to. Now, I think they did that after Pentecost and the Spirit of God came into their lives. And in fact, after the end of the book of John, where he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, I'm sure they got a lot smarter right at that point. We don't have too much of an excuse, because we have the Word and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, so that we can figure things out on our own. Okay? But they all came to him and said, you know, why don't you have a little snack? And he said, I have food that you know not of. And so they were like, What's he talking about? So he told them. He said, my food is to do the will of the Father and to accomplish the work that he has given me. He said, that's why I live. That's the point of my being. And that's actually the point of all of our being. The point of our being is not, as many of us thought when we got saved, the point is, use God as a vehicle to give you a happy life. And after a while, we thought, this isn't working. So therefore, I must have looked in the wrong direction here for the meaning of this. Our job is to do the will of the Father and to accomplish the work that he has given us. And he gives everybody, I think, specific tasks that only you are expected to do. And he maneuvers you into that crossroads because he has a plan. God is never without a plan. Our job is to figure out on the grand scheme what the big plan is, and on the small scheme what the small plan is. Okay, let's end in prayer. And I'll tell you again, I'm so happy to be a Christian. I can't imagine living life without being a Christian. I feel sorry for people, which makes me, I guess, in the eyes of some, a bigot. I feel sorry for all the people who are going to die and go to hell needlessly because they have the pass key to heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of you were given this opportunity. We should always be grateful for that. I waited till you came back, Marcy, so I could do this final prayer. All right. Father, how can we thank you for the death of your son on that cross? How can we thank you for the love that he showed us? How can we thank you for forgiveness and grace? It's something we'll have plenty of time to work on in heaven throughout all eternity. But right now, Lord, we are just so grateful that we belong to you. So we pray, Lord, that you would just minister to us and draw us deeper into the heart of Jesus Christ. And we give you glory and honor for it, Lord. Amen.